come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love it.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
My next guest believes men at risk for prostate cancer are the first victims of government-directed medical care. The U.S. Preventative Services Task Force just acts the only test that detects prostate cancer. President Obama got a PSA test when he turned 50, but millions of American men won't. We'll discuss the first example of healthcare rationing directly attributable to Obamacare. Dr. Sal Giorgiani is a leading pharmacologist. He's the chairman of the Men's Health Caucus of the American Public Health Association and science director for the Men's Health Network. Dr. Giorgiani earned his undergraduate and doctoral degrees from Columbia University. He lives in Fort Myers, Florida, and joining us from Fort Myers. Hi, Dr. Giorgiani. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you so much for being my guest here on the Bill Frank Show. And I want to drive right into this because this is a very serious charge here. You contend that a recent decision by the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force to curtail PSA testing for men is the first step in health care rationing under Obamacare. So first of all, let's review the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force decision. If PSA screening is so important, why'd the task force kill it?
Well, the task force is appointed by the Health and Human Services, and I think, as with many political appointees that are not necessarily transparent or accountable, they proceed along an ideologic agenda that really reflects the views of the administration. And as we move into the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as some call it, one of the harsh, stark realities is that services, diagnostic tests and other things have to be rationed. They have to be apportioned out, if you don't like the term rationing. But however you want to think of it, not everybody can get everything the way we are really used to as Americans in the healthcare system. It very much reflects and looks like the system being done in what we see in healthcare in Europe and other countries outside the United States. So what this task force is charged with doing is methodically, in their pace and in their view, go through almost all of the diagnostic procedures and clinical treatments that are going to be available to Americans, and then make pronouncements about whether they feel that these are useful tests, useful procedures, not useful, or whether their risks outweigh the benefit. In the case of the PSA test, now I've got to also mention here that this test has been used, you're right, for 20 years for hundreds of thousands of men, and very successfully as a screening test to determine if there is something going on in the prostate gland that requires further review by the patient and their doctor. The panel says, in essence, well, look, you know, this test isn't definitive. And there are some risks associated with doing this test and any follow-up test that might be needed to firmly document whether it's just benign or non-dangerous growth of prostate tissue, whether it's a slow-growing prostate cancer or whether it's a very rapid-growing prostate cancer. And the panel said, we don't believe, based on the information that we've reviewed, and that's a key point here, that we've reviewed that this test is worth the risks and has very little benefit.
All right. And I want to dive into the data that they reviewed and go through that in a little bit more detail. But before we do, let's get back to this Health and Human Services Task Force, the Preventative Services Task Force.
All right.
Who actually sits on it? You said it's politically motivated, but are these bureaucrats sitting on the task force? Are they doctors, medical doctors? Are they statisticians? Who exactly sits on this board?
The composition of the board is not firmly established. It is really a combination of physicians, nurses, statisticians, biostatisticians specifically, and health administrators. But they are appointed by the federal government, by the administration here. So they reflect that view.
All right, but they are doctors. They are medical professionals. Now,
many of them are. Not all.
Not all. All right, that makes some sense. Now, let's review the decision here, because if you take a look at a rebuttal published by the Journal of Clinical Oncology, their commentary, they were pretty severe in their criticism of how the conclusion was derived. And let me just read some of their observations about the testing. First of all, definitive conclusions based on incomplete data. Overall mortality, cancer-specific mortality, and statistical power were questioned. Combining data from incomparable trials, comparison of confidence intervals was faulty. Biological implausible inference, failure to address time to event nature of cancer, factual errors, and that goes on and on. There are about seven or eight of these contradictions that they find. So if these are in fact doctors, it makes me scratch my head. How could there be biological implausible inference? How could there be factual errors if there are statisticians in this whole survey on which they base their decision to withdraw the PSA screening?
Well, that's an excellent point, and you sort of highlighted all of the things that I highlighted as well in reviewing of that study from the Journal of Oncology. It's a very recent study, and it was in direct rebuttal to what the Preventive Services Task Force came out with. You know, in medicine, there are very, very few clear and cut things. There is, and it's why it's called the art and practice of medicine. Because there is as much interpretive art as there is definitive fact. In fact, some would say there's more interpretive art. So you can, and then there's the other thing about statistics, if you will. There's statistics and then statistics. And one of the concerns that I and many, many others have with the way this task force is going about their business, and it's not that they're not learned individuals or smart individuals, but they have the ability to select what studies that they are going to use. The study that they put their principal basis for making their recommendation on for this PSA testing has also been called into question because the study was corrupted. And without going into a tremendous amount of detail, usually in a study you have an active arm which looks at the question you're asking and then a control arm which people proceed, you know, without the let's say a PSA test, and what individuals found when they dug deep down into this study that the Preventative Services Task Force used to base their recommendation is that these two arms of the study were also corrupted, that people who shouldn't have gotten PSA testing in one arm did, and people who didn't get PSA testing didn't get it. So even the study that they found there, they based their remarks and recommendations are was inconclusive.
It's a very revealing study, no question about it. My guest is Dr. Sal Giorgiani, and we're talking about healthcare rationing under Obamacare. I want to continue on, though, with the Journal of Clinical Oncology, because they concluded themselves in that same rebuttal that PSA screening, the way that it's done in the United States, it's done improperly, and I'm going to quote here. Nevertheless, we considered it reasonable to recommend against the way the PSA screening and associated treatments are currently implemented in the United States. So it appears that even though the Journal of Clinical Oncology disagrees vehemently with the way in which the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force made its decision, they agree that the PSA test, as it's administered today, should be altered. So if the PSA test is so faulty, if not just downright controversial, why hasn't the medical industry taken steps to improve it?
Well, that's an excellent question. I can't speak to that issue, but it is the best test that we have now as a screening test. And one of the criteria for screening tests is that they have to be inexpensive enough, yet accurate enough to provide a clue as to what next steps might be. So I think the emphasis has not been on better screening tests, but on less invasive, better diagnostic procedures that have a high level in diagnostic certainty. And I have no quarrel with the issue, and most professional organizations that deal in this area have no quarrel with the issue that maybe the PSA screening in the United States is not done in an optimal way. In fact, the American Urologic Association, in reviewing the USPTF's recommendation, said something very similar, and I'll read you a quote that I have from the American Urologic Association. They said, rather than instructing primary care physicians and urologists to discourage men from having a PSA test, the task force should instead focus on how best to educate physicians regarding targeted screening and how to counsel patients about their prostate cancer risk. So they also acknowledge and agree that everything isn't optimally done, and that's just the way healthcare is practiced, and That's why I always encourage people to see real experts when they have complicated medical issues. So the AUA and most other authorities don't have a problem with the fact that maybe we need some changes in how it's done. But here's what the other thing that the Preventative Services Task Force did. They have five ways they can categorize a particular procedure or diagnostic test. Without going into all the details, the PSA test had a recommendation of C, which means that there's at least a moderate certainty that there is a net benefit to the test.
Okay, sort of like a C in school.
Yeah, it's a moderate benefit, but, you know, you're not creating an A. But you got to watch what you're doing,
Okay.
Kind of what they're saying. Then, in this review, they moved it down to a D category, which is almost like a black box warning on a medication or a prescription drug. And the D category, and this is very, very important, recommends against the service. There is a moderate or high certainty that this service has no net benefit, which everybody doesn't agree with, or that harm outweighs the benefit. So what does this do, Bill? This puts the physician in a really ticklish spot because the federal government has now said that if they do this test, the risks outweigh the benefits. And if you're a plaintiff's attorney, if you're looking for malpractice, you know, controversies, they put the physician who, in their best efforts to screen patients, square on the mark of a plaintiff's attorney bar.
Well, that's certainly something that we need to look at, and we need tort reform in this country. My guest is Dr. Sal Giorgiani. We're talking about rationing health care and most recently a decision about the PSA test for men's for prostate to detect prostate cancer. I want to do a little compare and contrast, if we can, Dr. Sal, for just a moment here, because there was no similar outrage when women's pap smear testing frequency was increased from annual tests to 3 or 5 year testing, depending on the age of the woman. Isn't cervical cancer just as threatening as prostate cancer? And why wasn't there the outcry when the women's pap smear was changed as there is with the men's prostate PSA testing?
Well, that's an excellent point, and I'll also add on something about mammography when I address your specific question. In this case, with the pap testing, the data supported the conclusion. And I think that's very, very important. While people may not have liked it, the data supports the conclusion. And they moved it not to exclude testing, but to lengthen the interval between testing or when you start testing. So there's a big difference in saying something is dangerous, which means don't do it, doctor, and just saying increase the interval under normal circumstances. Now, certainly, with that kind of a cancerous tissue, if you see a slow growth, you probably are very correct in increasing the frequency, but then if the growth looks like it's quicker, then you have to decrease the frequency. But what it did in the case of the pap test was put the decision-making process in the hands of an expert clinician between them and their patient. Now, the USPSA, the task force, also came out with the same recommendations using virtually the same language for mammography a little while ago. And the women, you know, were outraged, as they really were. And what they did when the task force said that they don't see an appropriate level of benefit from mammography the way it was done or recommended, the women had put in the Affordable Care Act specific language that requires mammography to be covered. So here we have very analogous situations where, you know, women have spoken up and they were heard and they took charge of their health, and the guys are kind of not really that engaged, and that's really unfortunate. So what the message here is, if you're not engaged in watching what the federal government does or these task force and panels do, you put yourself at risk.
Absolutely. We just definitely need a stronger men's lobby in Washington. My guest is Dr. Sal Giorgiani. We're talking about rationing health care, and in specific, we're talking about the United States Preventative Services Task Force that has made a recent decision on PSA testing. So going forward, Dr. Sal, what is going to be the role of the USPSTF under Obamacare?
They're going to continue to discharge their mandate, regardless of what administration is there, because they now are initiated, they're started, they're funded, and whether ACA stands or is withdrawn, they will continue. And that's one of the consequences of the way the process played out. But one of the things, one of the positive things that's happened is that now there's legislation being sponsored, and it's called the USPTF Transparency and Accountability Act, and it's H.R. 5998 for folks who follow that kind of thing. And its principal sponsor was Marshall Blackburn of Tennessee. And what it says is it looks to address the way that this group does its work, and that is that they need to have expert panels weighing in, and they have to consider the expert panel's opinions, that they need to have patient advocates sitting on the panel, appropriately qualified patient advocates, of course, and that the selection of the panel must follow a process that balances viewpoints. None of these things were followed in, for example, the PSA testing scenario. Just to give a concrete example, the task force came out with preliminary recommendations in November of 2011. They filed them for comment, and they got tons and tons of comments, including back from several cancer coalitions and the American Urologic Association and patient advocacy groups such as the Men's Health Network, objecting to what they were doing, and they basically ignored it. Men's Health Network, as the oldest and largest men's health advocacy group in the United States, asked to have a seat at the table. We were denied at least three times. So there is a recognition, and it's a bipartisan recognition, that something is amiss with how they do their business, and they're not accountable. So no matter which side of the aisle you sit on, I think you always want a federal panel making essentially life and death decisions to have transparency and accountability.
I couldn't agree more. My guest has been Dr. Sal Giorgiani. We've been talking about healthcare rationing. Dr. Giorgiani, if you've piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the PSA testing, or just in general take better control of their healthcare, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, Men's Health Network has been around since 1992, and it's the oldest and largest comprehensive men's health group that does a lot of great education and material. And we have a website, like everybody these days, and it's a very easy one. It's www.menshealthnetwork.org. That's menshealthnetwork.org.
That is great. Dr. Sal, thank you so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And I'll be back with my next guest after these words from our sponsors.